What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
How many of you guys remember this thread when it like first did you read it when it first happened? Did you read it at because I didn't read it until after I saw this movie.
I'm looking at it right now. I haven't even read it, but I'm looking at these pictures like, damn, this is the same shit. Like,
yeah, James, send it to me because I too want to know what's happening.
Oh, I was on the train in New York going to work, and like one of my cool black friends on Twitter was like tweeting about it, and I was like, let me just look at this thread. I was in it, and she had photos. She had like... Also, you know what it was? It was before they extended the characters on Twitter. So it was such a good read. It was just like 15, I think, tweets. And it was like, oh, this is a solid read. And also the plot was just right there. But I remember getting to work and like all the black people were in the corner like, this is what you get for hanging out with that white girl. Like, that's exactly that's what everybody was saying. You ain't know her name like that. Boo boo, don't do this. I remember it was a big deal.
Just to be clear, it's 148 tweets.
It's 148 tweets.
No which way. Might fully be the runtime of the movie, too. Yeah. It might be like 148
I also
minutes.
Feel like it happened at a time before Twitter like allowed you to like link the tweets. You know what I mean? Like, with, you know how like now you can post all the like a thread at once if you want to like you can write
girl,
it all
that
out
happened last week that just started like a week ago like this is new technology before you had to either anticipate how many you were going to do and give us like a 1/? Or right. Give us like a 1 out of 30 but yeah she was just going and going
she's just
it's kind of like the rule that we have with scripts that's like a page a minute per page it's like a minute right. per tweet truly I love it for the subculture of Twitter threads. I think Zola precipitated. Like, I think that from there we got ho tales. We got ho stories. I've learned so many ho stories. I call them like flued out horror stories of girls just being like, girl, bitch, I went over here and this happened and this happened. And and like, that's, I only have attention span for things like that. Just ho mess.
I think this is one of the first movies from a Twitter thread. And I think there's another one that came out like not right after this, but there was like a photo of like Lupita and Rihanna and somebody else, I want to say at Fashion Week, and someone tweeted, it looks like they're about to rob a rich white dude. And like some person on Twitter just literally replied to it and just made the plot of the movie and then added Ava DuVernay in it. And then all of a sudden Ava DuVernay. Yeah, and no, it's not out yet. Apparently, it's in development. They got a name for it, but like Ava DuVernay was like, "Oh,
that's
bet.
Just another movie where they."
It's just another Richard. Thing from Twitter, and like Ava was tweeting shit, and she was like, "All right, bet." And then all of a sudden, it was like a Deadline article came out, and I was like, "Yo, I hope this person gets money from all this." Right, shit.
What are plots. We doing? We need to start tweeting.
Yo,
what
are we doing here? I need to start going to just. I need to.
James is tweeting all the time.
Recklessly go somewhere. No, but I need to like walk somewhere that I'm not normally at, and then just like. Right. Pop some kind of drug and then just see what another.
Or you gotta add the right people in your tweets, James. You just gotta add, like, man. You know,
James. You gotta try that new drug, Zola.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Zoloft, but worse.
Yeah.
First off, don't encourage him. Don't encourage what he just
I
did.
Knows what I'm talking about.
No, she doesn't.
No,
know.
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
She doesn't know.
Nah, she's talking, John, it's nope. On the streets, baby. Sometimes people baby. Call it Z, but the real name is Zola.
Look, you don't know that Zeddy Zed, that'll get you zooted.
Why are you doing this?
Baby?
I feel like you're ending this joke with him.
Gerard.
She is.
Wait, I feel like. No. You know what you're doing.
You know what? So am I. I got to take
James
that
knows
Zola.
It.
Wait.
I'm off the shits right
wait,
now.
Wait, baby. Get yourself a prescription.
No. Listen, everybody. James.
Get Zola.
James.
James. I gotta take that Z, comma, Z, comma.
I'm so
Carrie. Annoyed.
Oh, man, yeah. I like all this joy in Gerard's anger. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock. James III. Gerard Milligan. What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Y'all want to hear a story about why me and this bitch here fell out?
Why is your voice so high pitched? I feel like you didn't even try. I feel like
it's kind of low. I didn't want to do the. See, because here's what I didn't want to. I didn't want to try to mimic the voice because I was like, this could be problematic.
I feel like that's what. The real Zola sounded like what you just did.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. You know what? Okay. All right. I'm with that.
For those of you who don't know, this voice talking to you right now that you think could possibly replace Morgan Freeman one day as the greatest voice ever is wow. Jonathan Braylock.
What am I supposed to do with that?
They need to know who we are. So I'm
can
just
we
describing
change
what
the
my
order?
Voice sounds like.
Can we change the order? I don't want to go after him.
No,
anymore.
Just go ahead and describe
no,
what your
I don't
voice
I don't
is.
This, I don't want
and
to.
And this voice that is essentially a Morgan
sake.
Freeman impression.
Okay, but you're not going to sound
James
like
the third.
Right. Why y'all... I feel like y'all get more embarrassing James, when guests are on the podcast. I don't like this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
don't just shrug
right,
and drink a beer, James. Don't just shrug.
That's what I'm going to do.
No, I've done my intro.
I'm drinking the beer.
Stop. It's my turn.
All right. Go ahead.
It's my turn. Okay. Now I got to fix my voice because I got me stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Stop, John. Don't look at me.
I'm
don't look
waiting.
At me. Don't look at my box.
I'm looking
don't look at
your
my
box.
Box. You're looking at my box, man. Don't look at my box.
All right. We our guest is waiting patiently.
I know, but you did. Don't look at my box.
Okay.
This stop, man.
taking way too much time.
Stop, man. Stop looking at the box. I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay. Stop looking at the box. I feel you looking through your eyes. Okay. This super cool. Super calm, not stressed out, not anxious voice is that Gerard Milligan.
All right. Anyway, we have a special guest today joining us on podcast.
Sorry, this room is hot. wait, I gotta do my drums.
You know, okay, she's a writer on Betty. go ahead. Do your drums.
This is special. Right. You can do it while I'm doing the drums. All right. You can do it over the drums. All right.
Hilarious comedian. You should check her out on Twitter. Honestly, she has a great Twitter account.
I can do more drums. I can do more drums.
Oh my God.
You got more credits. I got you.
No, just do it.
No, I'm doing it. This is the intro. Trust me, this is a really good intro. This
Aida
is the longest.
Osman!
You know how many times I considered leaving the Zoom call during this intro?
Yeah.
The red leave button is shouting my name.
I mean, listen, I wanted to make sure it was a good drum, but the room is hot, so I'm sweating, so it kind of messed up my drums, but...
I'm so unimpressed by your posture right now. Everybody's at attention, ready to do this podcast. You leaning back on a pillow on a wall.
Well, just
like
you know,
a broke nigga.
So
sit up. Have a sense of decorum, okay? We are in mixed company.
First off, I don't have my chair. I am in, so everyone sees, everyone at home, you can't see this.
No, I'm in a baby's room.
You in a nursery.
I'm in a baby's room right now.
In a nursery.
So I'm in a rocking chair, and this is the posture you get. In a rocking
chair. You're giving Rumpelstiltskin.
My laptop is on my lap, all right? I'm getting it done right now. Mm-hmm. That's getting it done.
Are we good?
Guys, but I am a broke nigga, so anybody can sponsor me.
Gerard's fully spanking himself at this point, so we just need...
We are a Film Review podcast, okay? We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. Today, we're reviewing... The 2021, God, I didn't know how to say the year for a
second. What is happening, Brain? What is happening?
I just realized I don't say the year that often. I think this is the first, we've reviewed other, this is the first film I saw in theaters in a very long time. Yeah,
wow.
It's Zola, baby. In a long time, obviously not ever, obviously.
No, I mean, obviously. Zola, listen, based on that wonderful Twitter thread, what was that from 2015?
Mm-hmm.
2015. I mean, wow, it's crazy. It's been a minute. Also, I'm very happy that the real life Zola King, she gets EP credit on this movie. She was at all the premieres. And I was like, you know what? You deserve it. I did read the thread of the white girl in it. She has a Reddit. It's not good. But
right. They reference it in the movie.
Yeah, it's not good.
This film stars Taylor Page, Riley Keough. Is that how you say her last name?
Keough, yeah.
Keough. Great. And Nicholas Braun from Succession. And Ariel Stachel, who I actually know, I went to NYU with. Well, he was a freshman when I was a senior, but we were in the same. He was Zola's boyfriend.
Oh.
And he was in the musical, Broadway musical, The Band's Visit. I think he got... a Tony nomination for that.
He's okay.
Great actor. He has been since college. So it was cool seeing him in this.
And don't forget our boy.
Of course, Coleman Domingo. Respect.
I
mean,
I love
what a wonderful job.
Yo,
such a bad Nigerian accent.
He's having a renaissance right now.
What was that?
That was me attempting to do some sub-Saharan something. Nothing came out.
I love when an actor's been around for a minute, and then next thing you know, they're in like seven movies back to back. You know what I mean? Like I remember seeing him in some smaller stuff, and then all of a sudden. Once Beale Street dropped, I feel like I've seen him at least twice a year, every year in a movie. And I'm like, and they always are like really good movies. So, hey, big up to him.
Yeah.
Love me some Coleman. He's dope.
Yeah. He's been around for a while and just kind of playing small roles. Like, look, I just saw, he was Male Patient in Freedomland. That's a Samuel Jackson movie with...
Okay, well, he was Oscar nominated, so watch yourself.
In Freedomland?
Yeah, he got an Oscar for that small supporting role.
Man, let me get one of them. Come
Guys,
on.
Guys, you invited a liar onto your podcast.
I would have won one by now if I had that. Guys, this movie, the box office is, you know, it's whatever. It's 3.5 million so far because, I mean, you know, it's a smaller movie and also I think people are still not seeing movies. The box office has been doing decent, but it's still like, it's not fully back though. Black Widow did.
It's going to be available to rent. Yeah. I think by the time our podcast comes out, I think it will be available to rent. It was going to be in theaters. And then I think 3 to 4 weeks afterwards, they're going to put it on available to rent on streaming services and shit.
Okay. And the Rotten Tomatoes score is 87%. It's pretty good.
Oh, that's exactly what I would have given it. For me, I was like 8.5, 9. Okay.
Yeah. There we go. Should we start with initial thoughts?
I'm surprised Jason Mitchell in this job. How he getting this job?
You want to start us off?
What'd you think about Zola? First of all,
How'd you feel
about it? First of all, I feel like I didn't offer to the box office at all. I did see it for free at a screening. I'm going to shit on all you poors real quick.
Wow.
let me shit on y'all real quick.
I thought she looked in my box because she told me a poor ass nigga. So I did. I thought I that directly, was straight in my box.
Directly, yeah. Directly at your box. I am actually probably, yeah, we should probably enumerate the fact that we're on Zoom. We're talking about Zoom boxes. We're not like talking about Gerard's pussy, but anywho. moving immediately on. So I saw Zola at a screening and I was so fortunate. It was a screening that was hosted by T.S. Madison, who's in the film and it's fucking hilarious. Wow. And Taylor Page was there. Riley Keough was there. Zola, oh, wow. Miss Zola herself was there. I didn't even know what I was walking into. I didn't know that they were going to be doing a whole panel. I was so fortunate to get to see it. Oh, and of course, Janiska Bravo and Jeremy O'Harris were also there. So I had
you went to the premiere. That's what you went to.
No, it was like a ladies. It was before the premiere. It was like a all ladies screening, right? That's so fine. They just like showed it and talked about it, and we just got dirty and nasty, and we had free makeup bags. You know, shit bitches be doing.
What?
So it was fun. Okay. I just want to point out this movie for me as like a young Black woman with aspirations of being a filmmaker. This film was pivotal. It was pivotal for me. Because it was one of the first times I've seen a Black woman's story be treated with like such cinematic respect. The yes. grain, the everything Janiska yeah. Bravo was doing with her direct, with her, what's the word? Directoring? Directing? I don't know English. I don't speak all of those. Language.
All of those words.
Yeah, her directing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. So I feel like maybe if most people would give this movie like a 7 or whatever, I would give it like a 9. It was just, I was the target audience. I could feel it in my bones. My slutty bones.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. So I never saw it. I mean, I never read the thread and I decided not to before I saw the movie. And the story was wild, but this movie was great. Like, I loved the directing of it. I thought the choices that she made were like incredible. It was like it both made the story like the serious moments. Like you felt the impact of it, but it like still allowed it to be kind of like fun and free for most of it. It was very colorful. The way that they like did all of the like animated stuff with the like the Twitter stuff popping up on screen, and that I loved all of that. Like I thought the acting was great. Everybody did a really good job. It was a really funny, crazy, wild story that like fit the container of what it was like perfectly. So, I don't know. I mean, like, it's pretty much what you would expect, I think, if you know anything about it going in. And if you don't know anything about it going in, I think you still have fun because it really does a great job of, like, taking you on that journey. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're not aware. So, yeah, I really like
it. Yeah, I mean, I second everything everybody just said. I just saw it literally a couple hours ago and had a really great time in the theater. Thought it was really well made. It's very beautifully shot. And I love how, like, I saw it with my wife and, you know, and it's a movie about a stripper.
and so,
like, normally
and
seeing something
Page
like...
Taylor Page looks amazing. My God.
Normally seeing something like that might make me uncomfortable to be sitting right next to my wife while this... But I thought it was so tastefully done that, like, you know, I don't know, like it both captured what was happening and then also was like, hey, but also, you know, just here's a beautiful woman and now we're moving on. You know, like it was like that. Right. Like it really sort of felt like it was done in a very tasteful way. I really enjoyed this is sort of going off of something that Bray just said, but like the use of sounds and how they would like mash up sort of things that were happening with different overlay, different sounds and things. I thought that stuff was really cool. And a lot of the sequences were really interestingly shot. So as we get into it, I'll talk about it more specifically, but I had a great time. And oh my God, I just have to call him Domingo. Come on. He was so good. He was. Every time he switched, Karen, I love that so much. All right, that's it.
Y'all changed how I felt a little bit. I was kind of on the fence because I'm not trying to get dragged as I say this. So I'm trying to think of how I did this. Basically, I liked it, but I expected, like, I'm kind of the opposite idea. I kind of was like, I was expecting, like, a little more ratchetness. It felt so classy. Mm. And the thing is, towards the end of it, I was like, oh, I do like that this does feel like higher grade. But then it made me feel like if this was different, like if it was more like Spring Breakers, if it was more like how I felt reading the text was, would that be bad? Like, you know, I had that A24 like washed out kind of look, grainy kind of look. They do all the films that gives it that, like, you know, we care about movies thing that they do. And it's cool, but it was like reading the text. And like, I imagine the voice, and I've seen a couple of interviews with Zola, and it's like, she sounds and her energy feels a little different than I think portrayed. And that's okay. Actually, that's okay. I like the movie. I don't know. I kind of just wonder what the other version of it was, you know?
You wanted it raw. It felt
you know what it was? I liked how it was directed. I felt like it was very classy. Like, it's definitely very awardy. But it's something about, like, yeah, it's like, this feels like a different story. Like, literally that opening line of that Twitter is like, do you want to know how me and this bitch fell off? And it's like, that line I always imagined being delivered, like, straight to camera, a certain kind of way with, like, in the middle of, like, the wild shit that, like, you know, when she's, like, I think at one point in the Twitter thread, she's, like, she's in the room. And like, she's like, I don't know what this chick is in there doing. Like, I imagine like it being a shot from that moment. And then we get to that moment instead of like that kind of.
You wanted the BET uncut version of this.
You want this to be made by Zeus TV. That's what you wanted. The fuck?
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price.
All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let me say this. I think that movie did its best in the scene where the white girl character was knocked out in a closet. Okay, that was when the movie did its best, and I felt like tonality and voice, and I was like, this is what I came to see. And I think that the fatal flaw of Zola and Zola's story, unfortunately, is that it's about a white woman, so this bitch has to be there. We have to look at her, and we have to see her, and we have to meet this Stephanie character, and it's just, that's unfortunate. And I think that they took like Jeremy O'Harris's voice and what he brings to theater and this gloss that he can bring to it with Janiska Bravo's kind of elevated. And I don't want to say elevated. I'm not trying to say that sex work and that world of ratchetry is below what Janiska Bravo is bringing. I think it's the mishmash of those things are just, it's lacking for me. I wanted to give more Jocelyn's Cabaret is what I wanted. And I didn't get that.
It's tough because the Twitter thread is all towed through Zola's voice, right? And so we're like getting it. And so that's why I think some of those, when she's like doing the voiceover, it's a lot of fun. I don't know, sometimes it's even more fun than when we're just watching her, because at the end of the day, like if you're like seeing it instead of reading it, Zola, the character, is kind of observing most of the time. She's not very like passive, doing a lot of action, you know? So she's very passive. So like Taylor Page kind of like created this character that was very relatable, you know, because I like felt more like her as the audience member of being like just kind of sitting back and being like, these people are crazy, you know, and you're just like watching. She's kind of just watching everything, like, and trying to like not get in the way certain times. But because of that, we don't get to see her personality as much, which I think is maybe what you're referring to, of like her character doesn't seem like who Zola might actually be in real life. But who knows how she,
she felt so classy. I wanted her to be with the shits a little bit. Like, I was like, you went down here, man. Like, we go on the strip in Florida, you know, like, I want to see with the shits. And it was like, it almost felt like she was, and I do think she is above the white girl, of course, but it was just like, I didn't understand like why they would be friends from how they kind of set up the dynamics at the beginning. And it's like,
they do like, sort of right
the
away
of the story is or like, something like that.
She is
friends?
Like right away, like against the white girl, like we, right. they get on the trip and then like,
once
I mean, I know
starts,
we'll talk
yeah.
about this when we get into it, but like 20 hours pass and she's literally looking at her like, oh, I made a mistake. Almost immediately on the trip, it seems like she already feels like she made a mistake.
Right.
Yeah. I'm holding on to actually my two biggest gripes about this movie. Like, I'm going to contradict myself, but I love this film. But I remember leaving it and going, especially as a story writer, like, this was the least satisfying movie I have ever seen in my life. Like, the ending was abrupt. I didn't know what was going on. I had to watch, like, Zola speak right after Taylor Page spoke in conversation. And I'm like, how did y'all cast her to be her? You know? And
it didn't feel right.
I love Taylor Page so much and I want to see her thrive after seeing her in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom that I was like, girl, just do your thing. I don't care what you bring.
Respect.
Just bring something. And I bet casting Zola was a very, very difficult thing to do. I imagine that was really hard. She's such a distinct personality and a distinct person. So I could see why it was difficult.
Yeah, that's real. It's so funny because even before the casting came out, the person I'm about to say looks nothing like her, but the essence, I feel like it's there. Like in my mind, I'm like, oh, cool. They're going to get like a Keke Palmer for this. I was like, I just felt like you would need someone who could like be a little ratchet, but then have the dramatic chops a little bit. Like, I just know, like,
I see that,
you know, you can roll up this J. And all of a sudden be like, again, I did like Taylor Ma Rainey. And so like, you know, I remember watching her, like she had a VH1 show called like Hit the Floor or something like that. So I've seen her for years. I know she's really good. It just felt, you know, I don't know. Let's get into the story. Like, I like the movie. I just felt like I was expecting to watch something else. And
I think it's fair to say they're two different types of black women. Like we're skirting around it, but like Zola is a Florida girl, okay, through and through. And Taylor Paige is giving me more Tish. She's giving me more like Braylock went, like NYU. Like she's giving me more of that, okay? And it's hard to do that crossover.
I went to NYU.
All right. Well, we know. She just said
it. I feel like NYU people do not let you forget that they went to NYU, girl.
No.
Forget it.
They don't.
We paid way too much money for people to forget that.
We all paid money.
Everybody that went to school paid money, Bray.
NYU money?
No, but you're right. I think I always get scared because I do know there's like a nuance to all black people. Like we always say, like, you know, we're not a monolith. I think sometimes it's just hard to be like, because, you know, I think we're in a world where we're finally getting to be able to make stuff. So you want to just cheers everything, whether or not like the casting makes sense or whether like you like it. So it's very hard for me to say I think someone else should have been Zola, because it's like, yo, it got made. And this is like a woman off of Twitter. And it's like, so it's very hard sometimes, I think, with this podcast, especially
especially black women. Y'all are literally three. Black men can't jump. Black men can't say shit about black women either. Like, y'all not allowed to say nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
I get that. But I finally, what excites me too about entering Hollywood during this time is I feel like we're at this inflection point where it's like, we can finally start critiquing. I can be like, Lena Waithe, girl, what are you doing? What is going on? Y'all can't.
We can't, though.
Okay, but
we can't.
We're getting there,
though. We 100% did that when we reviewed your movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, but we also said that you know, Hillmongrad is a wonderful production company that, you know, does wonderful art.
I don't know why you're saying this. Like, these things aren't true. They do. We just...
You say, like, we critiqued her.
We critiqued a movie that she did.
We just said things...
We can critique
all right. So Zola. I'll remember that.
All right. Back, yeah.
All right.
Let's save our careers right now.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, the way that this movie starts, you can kind of tell they're going for... an elevated, like kind of like a, it is like a glossy vibe, right? Like,
absolutely.
Just the sound effects and the colors. And even though like Taylor Paige is like saying the ratchet stuff, it feels like the movie is trying to make sure that sex workers aren't cast in a certain light, I guess, you know? And so they're like, we don't want her to seem like, I don't know, a certain way. But who knows? Maybe that's problematic. I don't know. That's a good question. But yeah, it's, you know, it just starts off with them in the Hooters restaurant, and that's how they met. She has another guy with her at the time who we never find out again in this Twitter thread. You don't know who that person is either. Like, who was this man she was with? Mm-hmm. And they just like each other because they both dance and they both...
Has that ever happened to anybody? Has that ever happened? Like, you met somebody, like, you know,
maybe at a party, but at work.
Zola did a good job of the first scene. Like, it feels like some type of meet cute between the girls. I was almost like, is this about to be a lesbian drama?
Yeah, like, that's what it felt like.
It's deliberate. They're doing this friend romance thing between Zola. And I think the girl, in her name in the thread was Stephanie. I don't know if it was that in the movie, but Riley Keough's character.
I wonder, did they say her name in the movie?
Maybe they don't.
What?
Do they?
Oh, no. Stephanie?
They
about Stephanie?
I just yawned.
Do they say Stephanie?
I don't remember them saying it, but they show her, you know, they show her name when it becomes her story. And that's right. in that sequence. True. I don't remember. A lot of names weren't said out loud, I think, intentionally. But right. Except for like Zola. We heard Zola a lot. But then they do put her name on screen when it becomes her movie for that.
I mean, we definitely hear her name, right? Her boyfriend has had to have said her name.
I know he said Zola's name when he was like, put Zola on the phone.
But I do think especially it's kind of a gendered thing where women, I'm especially in the bathroom drunk, and that's kind of a cliche, but I'm like, girl, we're best friends. We're sisters. Where are you going next week? Cabo, take me with you. Like, I still think that that's a...
Oh, okay.
It's a very feminine thing to latch on immediately.
Oh, that's real. Because I don't trust none of these niggas. Like, if I met Bray and he was like, let's go to the next bar, I'm like, nah, bruh. Like, yeah, like, we got to be family, bruh. Like,
sometimes when I play basketball with people, I might go play basketball with those people again. You know, I don't know anything about them. But it's very contained. It's like, I'll do the exact thing that... Which, the thing about this was she was a customer. I don't know. It felt weird. It was funny.
It was funny
how they were like, And then the guy was like, oh, whoa, what you flirting? Like, can I get in?
And then she came behind the register and was like, they were like so close to each other's face. I'm like, what?
What's
this movie? What's happening?
Yeah. And then after this, all of the, when they were texting and how her boyfriend kept being like, what's that face? What's that face you're making?
Yeah.
Cause she would like,
who are you texting?
Every time she texted with her face would light up, and like she didn't care about what was going on with homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yo, if you dating somebody and they start smiling at a text message,
it's a problem.
I mean, it was a great way to
baby, the pizza coming.
Why.
I'm just the pizza's on the way. Don't look at me.
No, it's my door. They had to do this for it to like make sense why this woman would go on a road trip. Where were they where were they to start? Because they go to Florida.
That I can never figure out. Like, I thought they were in a different part of Florida.
I thought that's what it was, too.
Like, to a bigger city.
But then why would they be like, I'm going to Florida?
Detroit. I thought they were like, they met each other in Detroit.
What?
Because it took them 20 hours.
So they drove from Detroit?
You know, it took them 20 hours. 20 plus hours to drive to Florida.
This story just got wilder.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I thought they were, like, in Georgia or something. I didn't know that they were in Detroit.
There's so much more to the story than, because this movie was tight.
In order for it to take that long to drive to Florida, you know, we drove from Akron to Florida. It took the day.
So, yeah, it's like you're going on a full day's journey in a car with complete strangers to go dance. It was also like, I was like, do you make enough money? It was just all of that, but she just did it anyway. Also, I realized when you're in your 20s, you just do things.
I had a friend.
We're stupid.
I had a friend named Strawberry, and she made a lot of money stripping. Like, she made, like, more money than I make now, like, down in Atlanta. So if they went to, like, Florida, one of those, like, touristy towns,
I think she says something like that.
Gerard,
like,
we don't know how much you make. You are in a child's cave right now. I don't know what your income level is. It could be anywhere between $3 to $15.
Listen, but I got enough for the rent. Why are you coming for me right now? I thought we was on the same team.
I love it.
I'm sorry.
Why are you coming for me in my closet?
Let's go back to Zola.
No, you're not. No, I see the eyes. You're like, I'm going to get this 5 minutes. This nigga, like, he still ain't shit. This nigga still ain't shit.
But yeah,
man.
So, yeah. I loved how she was like, who's going? And she's like, just meet me at 2 or whatever. Like, be in the car.
Yeah, it's my roommate. Who's your roommate?
It's my roommate. Yeah.
That.
And my boyfriend.
I mean.
It's my roommate and my boyfriend.
I love that dude from Succession because, like, I feel like he plays.
Nicholas
this
Braun.
Part he plays in this movie is, to me, is the same character. It's the same character from Succession, just if he went to, like, his poor cousin instead of his rich cousin's house. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just the same dude in the same situation.
Both are Cousin Greg. Broke. One's Cousin Greg and one's Cousin Greg.
Yes.
Greg with two G's.
Yes. And then Coleman, I think, was like, so awesome. Like, I
was feeling so guilty that Nicholas Braun was my favorite character in the whole film. Like, I was feeling really bad. I'm like, he's supposed to be about a black woman's story and how she has to deal with these microaggressions and this crazy white bitch. But ultimately, I was like, oh, Cousin Greg, okay, you funny. You funny. Yeah. That's hilarious. Because there was physical comedy. He was just coming with the jokes. And I think that those were the two best comedic performances in the show. I am impressed by Riley Keough, though. She did embody white bitch really well.
But she does that. Wasn't she in The Girlfriend Experience? I feel like this is her bread and butter. Like, The Girlfriend Experience, they made it into a TV show. I think she was the lead season one. But I feel like she kind of always
was in
these,
Mad,
like,
Max Fury Road.
Indie.
Yeah, I think that was the first thing I saw her in.
Yeah. And she was in American Honey.
Mm-hmm. She's like, is she like Elvis's daughter or something like that?
Oh. Damn, what?
No, I think
she's like the eldest grandchild of Elvis Presley.
Yep. Wow.
Well,
that was a random fact.
I do often wonder, because white people will just pop up and they're famous. And I'm like, how? how did you get here?
And you look at the family, you're like, oh, okay.
Okay,
got
that
it.
Makes sense.
Got it.
Cool. Oh,
you got it.
But she family owns Macy's. Okay. You. That's why you're.
That's why your last name's Macy. I didn't even know. I didn't even put that together.
Makes sense. It makes sense. But you know what though? Like at least she's. I do think she's actually good in this. I agree with you. Like she does this part well. It's just that one of those things. I keep wondering. Like, do you guys feel that? Do you guys feel like you know Zola from this movie? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I know she was in a bad situation, but I don't think I know, like, well, I don't think I know her character that much.
I don't think we're supposed to know her like that. Like, yeah. This is just like a story. It happened once. This isn't like the defining moment of her life.
Right.
It's just a crazy story that happened to her.
We do know that, like, she, every time she said, I'm not the one and I'm going home, I was like, wow, you have a lot of guts to be saying that right now. we know that she's strong. Cause like that, there were so many times where like, I would like, I don't know. Like I would have just been like, all right, cool. I'll do whatever you need me to do.
I mean, eventually she did
do
that.
Who do I have to fuck? Like, I'll fuck that. Who do I have to fuck?
No, James.
I'll fuck everybody.
Protect yourself, James. Protect yourself.
They're like, we're not even there yet. James, we're still in the car. Relax.
Sit in the back. And put on your seatbelt.
That, I swear to you, I'm glad I didn't read this thread beforehand because when his voice changed, that was such a surprise.
I spiraled.
What's that? Bitch, like, what is that voice?
Why is that the biggest intimidation tactic is just act foreign and we're like, yes, sir.
I was like, oh man, this nigga trafficking. Be safe. Lily, it turned up. I was like, oh, get her out of here. When they were at that pool, and like the white dude was like, oh, first
that made
off,
me so mad.
The white dude was like, hey man, you know she need help. You ain't about to come back with those security guards, bro.
That was the softest. I know. That was the softest check.
Like, I know you can't fight him, but you ain't got no boys with you. You ain't got no other little pool boy dudes. Y'all can't,
there's
like,
also no security. There had to be security with.
Bruh, they were security, dog. They were security. He knew what game was. He just ain't want no smoke. That's what that was.
He wanted to make himself feel better that after the man clearly is threatening this woman, the woman goes, we're okay.
Guys, that
she knows
moment
you're
in the
not
film.
Gonna do nothing.
That moment in the film, first of all, Nicholas' character is the biggest simp, just like the definition of a simp. I was
he
so
really is.
Uncomfortable
also the
for him.
Chin strap beard.
Oh my god, the polos, the striped polos, the greasy hair, just everything about it. He smells, I can tell he smells like Cheetos through the screen. I took the quote from the movie. I don't even remember what it was now because I actually saw this about a month ago. It's been about a month now. But maybe you guys can help me fill this in. What was the little catchphrase between the two of them? Like, I'm yours and you're mine.
Oh,
like,
who does this? Yours.
Go ahead.
And who's this?
And now who's this?
It hurt when Coleman gave in that joke.
When Coleman gave us a little call back, the power, wielding the power, I was like, no!
Oh, my God. And he was sitting right there, whose is this? And he asked her like four times. And she,
But he didn't get, that was, he asked her four times, but there was no reciprocation.
He didn't point to himself and say, whose is this? Because it wasn't a reciprocate. It was a one way.
With each time he said it, it made me feel worse. Like, I was just like, I hate this. I hate him.
Oh, my goodness. But I will say Taylor's reactions in this movie was great. Like in that scene, I almost wish they would have broke the fourth wall because in that scene, she's like, her face is straight. She's on the wall and she's looking at them. And then she like looks off in the distance almost if she like wants to look in the camera. She's like, y'all see what these niggas is doing? Like it's like literally that moment. Oh my goodness.
That,
it was so
and
messy.
That is a difference between the movie's representation of this and Zola, the Twitter thread's because it in the Twitter thread, Zola was like laughing, like just like laughing at the guy, like she's not, she's just like, this is funny that you know you are all crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. And the movie had her more kind of just like, kind of freaked out.
Well, the Twitter thread was like a black woman finally got to laugh at like these like kind of white trashy white people. You know what I'm saying? It's like it, right. that dichotomy rarely happens. I feel like, you know, usually like sometimes we're the ones get laughed at, but at this point she has the upper hand. It's like, look how messy they are. Like, look at this. Like she really didn't even help them become messy. They're like, they're so messy. And I'm like, that's one of the things I'm like, I was loving about the Twitter thread for sure. Sorry.
That, well, no, just that is an interesting thought. Like that, even if Taylor can do this sort of approach to the character in those moments, but then in the breaks when it's more the Twitter thread, like leaning into the fact that we all know that she got out of this okay because she tweeted. Like the reason we're here is you had this long ass Twitter thread, so like they could have Deadpooled it or something, you know, like where like when she's talking to us, we know she's fine, you know, but then she has to do that switch acting wise, which I don't know, would have changed the tone of the movie, I think. Right. But like, but that is interesting that I hadn't thought about it like that, but that,
I love
that
a good fourth wall break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, me, which she did do. Wall. They did do a couple times, you know,
she did speak. It was like a voiceover kind of situation.
Right. The only direct to camera is the, like, before he jumps,
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they do she talks to camera. They just cut over to her so that she can talk to camera for a bit. And then we see him jump. But like, yeah, had they done more stuff like that throughout, that would have been that. That is interesting to me, I think.
I mean, I'm here for it. I will say I did like a good portion of this movie. I thought it looked really good. And then even when I thought they made the stripper scenes kind of like classy, which I really liked. Was it when they're in the first club? But yeah, when they get to the first club in Florida and one stripper is praying, send us niggas, and like just doing her whole speech about
was amazing. God,
that prayer.
Send us niggas.
That prayer was incredible.
That is T.S. Madison, if I recall. That's T.S. Madison.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I best line. Her speech was the best speech of the whole movie. Like literally, the first line: "Send us niggas, and not just niggas. Like we don't want them little dick." I was like, "Yo, this shit is why." And it went on for so long.
Is like, did you feel it? And she like is still a little bit. Her knees buckle a little bit.
That was amazing. There was also that weird detail that Zola was like, oh, I don't do strip clubs with just pasties. Like, I'm a full nude bitch. I was just like, what a weird thing to be mad at the club for.
Well, no,
let me show titties.
If I'm taking off my clothes, you're seeing everything. Okay?
My only understanding of this is the HBO show Carnival, and the one time they were like, don't take off, no blowout is what they would call it. It was the reason that she was like mad that they would ask them to do that is you would get more money if you did.
So
they're like, you got to cover
true.
Up.
She
like,
did, oh. Actually, I think she does say that. I think she more money. Says that.
Remember when the one skinny dude is in there and we kind of got that shot of him. And then the shot of, is it before they go on stage? It's like both of them peeing. But then, like, Zola's like hovered.
Oh, what was that about? Like,
what was that shot about?
That was amazing.
One of my favorite like character trait reveals in a movie I think I've ever seen, like ever in my life.
You
like,
knew exactly who they both were.
That was perfect. It was so
beautifully done. And the way her piss was like a highlighter yet like big yellow, like the most disgusting.
I don't think she wiped. Oh, I think she just like got up and walked out. I was like, this shit is a mess.
That's hilarious.
This is a mess. But you know what though? But you know what? This movie did give us some full frontal male nudity as well, you know?
Oh, God.
Not just some. The most of any movie.
The most. And also, nothing that people are delighted to see, I would say.
No, listen, man. Listen.
Not exactly par for par, but.
No, I love that they gave the one guy the double tap. They were like, oh, he's going to get the heart.
Yes.
I wonder what that process is like. How do you audition to be the, like, yeah. I'm going to be the big dick nigga on Zola. You should check it out. Like, what does that look like? That's your IMDb page.
Weird balls.
I mean, honestly, nice. that's the thing. Also, it's funny because I'm like, I wonder if they audition or they do that thing where they put the fake prosthetic on you. You got the option.
No. This is not... Okay. This is not a Daniel Kaluuya film. This is not a Matthew McConaughey. Like, this is their dicks. This is their raw, unfiltered.
Yeah.
And what I actually feel for is, I'm thinking about casting. Do you know how many dicks they had to look at to get to those 10, 15 that we saw? It was hundreds. I think it was C's, like, just like the 7 C's full of dicks. I'm sure of it.
No. Oh, man.
Yeah, you're right. How do you get... See, at that point, you're not just casting the penis, you're casting the actor, too. It's like, okay, does this guy fit what we need? Like, does the combo fit? You know what I mean? Like, to see... Like,
exactly.
That scene was brutal for me. It was one of those scenes where it was like... I was like... Not to, like... not to get into this territory, but I was really thinking
about,
I was like, okay, it felt, I don't know. I can't even put it into words. I just was like, it felt wrong to me what I was watching.
Are you coming out right now, Traylor? Is this your coming out?
This is my coming out.
Is this the time? Something felt so off. You had to question your identity, maybe?
No, but Bray, I think it was. You should have felt bad. Like, this felt like...
I guess it's because we don't feel like she has agency, right? Like, yeah, that's why
it feels wrong. Like, yeah, it's not, like, again, it's, you know, it's not that sex work it's wrong. It's that this woman who we believe, at least at this point in the movie, is not there because she wants to be there. She's there because this guy has her in her pocket, in his pocket. And she, like, you know, has to every 15 to 20 minutes be with a new guy. That feels wrong, you know?
Right.
Like trafficking. I think that's the hardest part of the movie is, like, through all, like, the hijinks and stuff they go through. It's like, yo, this definitely feels like trafficking, which is, like, one of the dirtiest feeling things. But it's tough
those guys are paying her. They're not even necessarily thinking about...
Speaking of paying her, this was the most difficult thing for me in the film. Why? So, I mean, for those of you guys listening that have probably seen it or haven't seen it, Zola figures out how to get the two of them a lot more money by charging the men an exorbitant amount for pussy, which is probably still not enough. But
$500 instead of $150.
Exactly. And that's chump change. It should be way more. At the end of the night, when Coleman Domingo's character comes to collect, they give him all of the money and they're honest about it. Why?
Well,
the white girl does.
We made this much, Zola was like, "What are you doing? Like, why would you? Dummy. Why would you Dummy. Tell him? And why would you give him all the money? It's so dumb."
But it's also in the app, right? Like, doesn't he have access?
She made a different one. She made a different page.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He finds out later. He finds out later. He does find out later.
No, the white girl tells. The white girl's like, she made me a new page.
Yeah, you're right.
And the thing is, that's even crazier is that, like, this happens and then she goes, "Can I have some?" And I felt so bad.
Well, if anything that speaks to the nature of relationship between a woman and a pimp is, like, they give them all the money and then the pimp gives them just as much as they need to make it through the day.
So it's just
like, barely scrape things together. So I've heard the lack of doubt. First of all, they're honoring the thread and what happened in it. So I don't even know why I'm questioning plot as if somebody wrote this. But, like, it does say something about what that relationship is like. What I love about this movie is that, other than me saying, oh, it's unsatisfying, I don't know what happened, what was the goal, I expect some type of theme from films, it's forcing me to ask a lot of questions more so than it is like giving me things to take away. And I like that. I think any good film does that. I'm over here confused. That's nice.
It definitely makes you think about, I don't think this movie says too much. Like, I don't think it's making any real points, but it's definitely bringing up situations that I don't think people think about unless you're a part of this world. You don't think about too often that you're kind of like, oh yeah, like this is, you know, that's interesting. Like, even the when she goes over to the dude's house who, like, want to do a gangbang. And she's, you could tell that she actually was like, ooh, I don't know about that. Like, I wasn't expecting that. Mm-hmm. And then she winds up doing it. But there was like a way that I was like, that feels even worse. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what this reminds me of? I wonder if you guys have seen it. I feel like A24 is so obsessed with Florida movies. Like any movie that's set in a hot, steamy, sticky place, they're like, we're going there. Grab the multi-grain camera. I don't know.
multi-grain.
But I mean, like, if you
cut
guys have
all
seen
the dialogue. No.
The Kellogg. Cut all the Kelloggs. There's the Sean Baker film, The Florida Project, which I feel like a lot of scenes. Have you guys seen that movie?
William Dafoe is really good in it.
Yeah, and so is Brooklyn Prince, the little girl in it. She's so talented.
She's really good.
It's frustrating.
Really good.
I'm like, why do you have talent, bitch? You're six. Stop. But that movie, I think there's a scene too where like the two parents in the Florida Project, they remind me of Zola and the White Bitch and Zola. Like when they go out that night and they have fun for the first time, and the scenes seem very similar and kind of neon trimmed in this beautiful, eerie Florida way. Because Zola's a thriller. Like Zola's a comedy, but it's ultimately a thriller and it's full of all the suspense. And that's what I think is cool about this too. It feels genre breaking.
Once it gets turned up, I mean, the moment, you know, we haven't said his name yet, but the moment, you know, Jason Mitchell shows up, you kind of know things about to get turned up.
This was great. I love the scene with him in the liquor store. Like just the way that he like was like kind of scoping that dude out. He's like, didn't I just see you? At the hotel, right? Like
with the two bags, and all the bags.
Yeah. Could you guys tell it was him strolling up as they pulled off at the beginning of at the very beginning of the movie?
I don't think I was.
I didn't clock it, but I knew that.
I saw him there then, and I was like, "This is terrible." Like because he doesn't show up for like two or three more scenes, but like. Right. He walks up as they're pulling out, like very slowly. And it was just like, in the back of my mind, I was like worried about what he was going to, having not read the thread and knowing what's happening. I was just like, oh no, he's in the movie too early. something's going to go wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he was actually really good. Like that moment when, it was terrifying. I think the movie really turns up when they finally go to the hotel and the white girl gets taken in and she gets snatched so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And like they run in and then the white dude's like, this isn't you. Like this isn't like to Jason Mitchell's character.
Yeah.
Like this isn't you. This isn't you, friends. Like, bruh, you don't know this. Like, you don't know this, man. You don't know this, man. I mean, that scene was tense, but I thought that scene was going to break away from the actual story. And I was like, this feels like this could turn up a notch.
Once Jason Mitchell's character said, you're not going to shoot me. I was like, well, you just ripped your death sentence. Like, don't ever tell somebody with a gun, you're not going to shoot me. Like, why would you dare someone to shoot you? It's like a thing that you do that people do in movies that there's way that works in real life. It's like, oh, come on, you're going to shoot me? Come on, shoot me. You just get shot.
Yeah, because this was based on a true story, him saying that was like the scariest thing I had ever heard somebody say. It's like, oh no, bro. Mm-hmm. This ain't a film. I mean, we're watching a film.
Yeah,
like now it's a film. We know it's a film. You don't know it's a film.
I mean, that whole scene was kind of scary. Like, I mean, just Jason's interaction with Zola was like very like... again, I don't remember that particular stuff from the thread. So I was like, oh man, I don't know how this is going to end. I don't like how this is going to end. Like Coleman Domingo's character, like there was no trust I had for this dude. So I thought he could have been like, I really don't care about her because like I'm not here. Like I didn't even want her to come on this trip. So like that part was like, woof. And then even the fact that like when that went down, the very next scene, like when they're at the house, which is a very nice house on the water in Miami, Zola's like, yeah, it's time for me to go. I was like, she was ballsy the whole time. Like, yo, I'm ready to get the fuck out of here.
This was one directorial and writing thing that I thought was so well done for people who hadn't read the thread, which was like when my man comes up the stairs, he trips. And so then yes. when he starts talking about like, I'm going to kill myself, the shot is so wide. You see on the table, there's like a jagged, there's a jagged like centerpiece on the table. And it just feels like he's about to slip and break his head on this thing. And it's like so uncomfortable. If you have not read the thread, you don't know what's about to happen. But you right. know he's talking about how he's about to kill himself and gonna die or whatever. And it was just like so I was like digging my nails into my chair watching that scene, not knowing what was going to happen. It was so cool the way they did that. Yeah. And it only works because he tripped up the stairs. Had they not had him trip up the stairs, I wouldn't have thought any of that. I thought that was really cool.
Right, I think the jump when his character finally jumps is the only thing that actually deviates from the Twitter thread. I think I yeah. remember yeah. them saying that. Sorry.
Does he shoot himself? Like, does he do it? Like
he
this?
Jumps, but he gets stuck.
That's hilarious.
I swear to God on Jesus, he jumped. Like, whatever it was that she says that breaks the fourth wall is one of the tweets. But then the next tweet after that is like, oh, he's stuck on the mm-hmm. edge, which I guess probably would have been really cartoony and weird.
Yeah, in the movie, we see him splat. Like, yeah. Wait, did we see him? Did I create that memory? Did that
no,
actually
no,
happen?
We don't see him. We don't see him land,
you
but
see
we
see
him.
You see on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is, don't you bleed, you selfish yeah. don't you die. Yeah. Don't you die.
Apparently he also, like in the real thread, he like punched himself in the head a bunch of times.
Oh my God. Imagine that kind of love, head over heels, head over dusty cracked heels love that oh, white man had for her.
I mean, you drove your partner around as she was like, hoeing. And I'm like, you know, you still was willing to kill yourself. That's yeah, you're right. That's real love. Like that,
that's
I don't even
love.
Know what that is.
But that's strong pussy love. That's, I don't know what she was putting on him. That's insane.
I just want to talk to Hollywood. You know, I just want Hollywood to know that I'm very happy that you made this film. I just want you to know, okay, that yes, Black people, we call each other kings and queens, but we got the ratchets as well. And the ratchets can be classy. The ratchets deserve their day in the light. The ones that go to the strip club, the ones that's like, hey, you know what? Yeah, I got paid today. But I want to buy this head and I want to go in the strip club and I want to fall in love with a stripper while T-Pain is playing. That's those people exist, okay? And you know what? They deserve their time. I done seen movies about like white hillbillies that want to go steal a tractor. That's a movie. They stole a tractor. You know what I mean? I've seen wait, movies what? Where it's like, oh man. No, I wish I was joking.
What
it's
is
like,
this
oh
mean?
Man. Like, ah, what do? We got caught up at the barn today and all kind of craziness went down. And those
hey,
movies
you leave
exist.
Cyclone alone, okay, or Twister, whatever the hell it's called. You leave that movie alone.
But it exists though. All I'm saying is we can be ratchet and I just want to get to a level where like we truly do have every part of the Black diaspora where it's like, yeah, you have these real classy movies about like a doctor trying to save kids from Africa. And we also got movies about like strippers trying to rob some rich dude that feels that's a bunch of Black people in the South. That feels really high quality and fun and ratchet at the same time. Like, I don't think we have to like lose one for the other.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Barry Jenkins is doing Me and My Homegirls movie. We're doing an OnlyFans movie, and he going to treat it with the respect it deserves, and it's only going to be yes. Black women. Just yes. signed on. This is the deadline. Release. This is the news.
Yes.
It's
going to
be titties.
What?
It's going to be titties out.
This is
Don't
the
worry,
deadline.
Gotcha.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That is...
You got
wait.
The scoop here
wait, so
first.
Time out. You're telling me... We've been doing this podcast for like 6 years. Yeah. And every time I be begging Hollywood to do stuff, are you mm-hmm. telling me you have immediate answer?
It's already doing it.
So
I
you're
mean,
making a high quality ratchet movie?
You know what? I don't know if you're this gullible or if like,
what? Is that not real? Don't do this to me.
I lied to you. I'm a liar.
You know what? Just so you know, okay, I would have bought tickets to that movie. All right. And now
should
I think you need
it?
To make it. I think you should make it now.
Okay.
I actually think you need to make an OnlyFans right. movie right now. I think you should make an OnlyFans movie. And mm-hmm. when you do it, you can talk about all the racial stuff if you want, or it can just be
it's
fun
shit. It's
called
Only Blacks. Only Blacks. Got it. Perfect. I'll get Joy. What's her name? She's the one who made this. She edited this movie. Joy McMillan? McMillian? The girl who did Moonlight as well, the woman.
Oh, yeah. She.
I'll get her.
One of the,
only thing I want to say to Hollywood is like, look at how they made this movie pretty much as accurate to the Twitter thread as they could possibly make it. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They took they took details.
Except for the ending. There's a little
except
more.
Except for the ending, you know. But people, but pretty close. That ending's still
pretty close.
It's different, but it's still pretty close, you know.
Pretty good.
And, you know, and it's just like, I feel like with a movie like this, it's like when people go and try to make the next Red Tails movie, they can like really try to get like
yo,
a movie.
Yo, you
like
switch about, so often. Like every week is something different.
No, it's been the, Red Tails. It's
Red
been
Tails
my,
have
I've been
to do
talking
with
about
anything.
Red Tails at this point in the podcast. I think that they, if they do an accurate Red Tails movie, it might be better.
Yes. Yeah.
We, have y'all
yeah,
seen that? Have y'all seen Red Tails?
I haven't the foggiest idea what you're talking about.
No one does. Just ignore it. Braylock, can you set us up for the end, for the finale?
I'll tell you about it off mic. Don't worry. Okay. I'll tell you about it.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. So if we think a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right, on the count of three, we'll all raise up our ratings for the movie Zola.
Are you doing 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1?
It's so irrelevant. You'll know when I start doing it. All right.
Are you going to do uno, dos, tres?
I wasn't. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Oh no!
What?
Yikes!
Okay, got the palm.
Yikes!
What?
Yikes.
Three
yikes.
Black fists and a white palm.
Yikes! Okay,
I did not see that coming.
Guys, there has to be a contingency. There has to be the space that's like, I'm a Black woman who I feel like I can criticize this with a little bit more leniency.
You're allowed. Go ahead.
I feel like the story that became it's the same thing I said earlier. The story that became popular was the story about this Black woman having to deal with this white woman. It did advance the Black agenda in Hollywood, but it wasn't doing that much. It feels like a stutter step to us getting to like be free.
It was a lateral move.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like we moved up with it, but I still love it. And it still affected me and my art, I feel like.
Okay.
I'm regretting this white palm.
Well,
but here we go.
That's great. I mean, look, it's still got three black fists. You know,
technically, I wanted to give it a palm, but I was scared. So I agree with everything you said, but I just can't. Like, I'm not at a place in my life where I can be fully honest. But you know, it got made, and it's an A24 movie, and I like that. And I like, you know, the writer and director, and like Zola got to go to the fact that you were at a permit, not at a screening, and the real life Zola was there talking about this A24 produced movie.
Yeah, with her name in that beautiful bubble font.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Exactly. So I liked it for that. I think Taylor was on the way to be doing whatever she wanted to do anyway. So I'm not sure it really helped her. But I do think it would help the director and writer of this movie a lot to do an A24 movie. But yeah, I have the same critiques. I can't give it a palm because then people are going to be cursing me out in my DMs. And that happens way too often.
Well, that's wild. But I'm excited. I'm excited for Jeremy O'Hara's doing more films. Janiska Brava, who actually revealed in the screening that she had to fight to get this movie. Like, somebody else already had it. It was going to the wayside. You know how many years it took for us to see this film? Like, this thread happened in 2015. The movie was done in 2019. But I think it was really difficult for Janiska to get the movie and get the go ahead to start writing it. So, you know, props for that. Props for Black women angling and doing what needs to be done.
Oh, wow. It's a good lesson for us, for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I gave it a black fist because, you know, Taylor Page and Coleman Domingo, I think they just, you know, I think they're going to get more work from this. Just kind of, so it's kind of basically just off that, really. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Would you like to share your socials?
Your socials, your podcast, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. My podcast on Crooked Media, every Wednesday we drop. It is called Keep It. It is a cultural podcast. I don't know what to call it. Girl, we be talking shit. If you want to come listen, come listen. But with like, kindness, with kindness and reason. What else have I done? Watch the new season of Betty. It's on HBO. We worked really hard to write the last season and it's fun and beautiful. And also, speaking of, I'm going to Miami to film Rap Shit, the new show I'm going to be on. So be looking for that in the next year.
Yeah. Look at that. Wait, can I ask, do you rap? Will you be rapping on Rap Shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I play a character who she starts a rap group with her estranged friend when she moves back to Florida, and they get it going. They get into some antics. They start to rapping.
I love it. Okay. I love it.
All right. Well, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BlackMenPodcast is our handle, and BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you'll find links to. We have merchandise via TeePublic, you know, t-shirts and things. We also have a defunct Patreon where we don't do new episodes anymore, but there's a year's worth of episodes up there. So, hey, if you want to listen to those, you can. And if you give us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. This one is by Mr. I Got It. Must read. Nice. Watch.
Nice.
Love the show, but the Red Tails episode upset me only because I feel like Jorah. I have only seen a piece of this movie, and it was the first scene with the white woman shaking my head. I was done.
Thank you.
Since you watched this, and after hearing your comments, you must watch the Tuskegee Airmen from 1995. Which
People
does everything you complain about
this
with this movie. I saw that movie when I was 8 and have never forgotten it. Only till this day. Hopefully you can watch this soon because the back-to-back comparison would be great. Just to show the difference, Rotten Tomatoes score is 88%. This audience, 79%. This movie should be shown in schools. I actually brought it one day, showed one of my teachers, and they started using it as a teaching lesson. Okay, Mr. I Got It. Look at you.
He clearly got it. Clearly got it.
Educating the public education system. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.